Good morning. Welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service. Glad that you're here. I know that you enjoyed Ernest Sadler being here last Sunday, and we enjoyed being at another place last Sunday and through the week. Appreciate you letting us do that. A few announcements this morning. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers. It is Mother's Day. Because of that, we will not meet tonight. Allow you to spend the day with your family. Also, our Mother's Day offering for the Baptist Children's Village always takes place on Mother's Day. We do not promote that offering here at Perkinston. A lot of churches do. But you'll notice that there are offering envelopes in the pews in front of you. And also this handout, this flyer insert in most of the bulletins at least, tells a little bit about the Baptist Children's Village work across the state of Mississippi. We have one of those locally here, by the way, and so we always try to support that as much as we can. Part of our budget offering goes to that, but then every Mother's Day we also give everyone an opportunity to give special offerings for that. Do so in the envelopes that are provided. If it's just a regular church budget offering, it needs to go in one of the other envelopes, okay? A couple of announcements. As I said, no evening service today. Wednesday, we will meet. Children, youth will meet on Wednesday evening. Also, looks like WMU's meeting at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. Okay, so that meeting has been canceled. All right, I think that's all that's going on announcement-wise, unless someone else has an announcement that needs to be made. Okay, let's go to our prayer time. I have a lengthy prayer list. Also, remember this, the printed prayer list is there in the foyer, updated every week, and so grab one of those. I have a number of others, or most of them I think are on the printed prayer list, but I want to mention these this morning. Do continue to pray for Bill and Louise Barrett, and for Elwood and Bertha Taylor, for Earl and Rose Buckley, Juanita Cool, Rita McGeehee, Charlie Odom, Dot Lyons, and Liz Rowland. Also, two more, those are all of our church family, part of our church family. Also, two more of our church family that I need to mention, you need to pray for this week. One is Misha Meadows. She broke her foot, so pray for her, and also Brandy Bird. I want to thank Brandy for taking the lead with the piano this morning. Nell is on vacation on a trip, not here, and so Brandy has volunteered to take her place, but Brandy has an issue with one of her feet and is in a cast and a walker there, so pray for Brandy. I think that's supposed to go on for another 3 weeks or something like that. Right? Yeah. So pray for her. Also, several others. Georgia Faye Bond family. Georgia Faye passed away this week. Pray for that family. It's just been a short time back when her husband passed away. So family is being hit very hard. Also pray for Corky Palmer. That's Miss Clarice and John's brother-in-law. And then also Eudora Reynolds. That's Miss Clarice's sister. She was hit on the head by a falling limb a couple weeks ago. She is improving, but do continue to pray for her. That's all I have written down that I wanted to mention this morning. I know there are others, some others that you might want to add today. Yeah. Zach Carlisle.
He's having heart issues.
Okay. Got it. Zach Carlisle, Rose's great nephew. Okay. Okay. And that's our son-in-law Shane's friend up in Where do you say? Tennessee. Unspoken requests. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we bring these requests to you. We especially pray for each and every one that is hurting and grieving. Especially we pray for those that are of our own church family. Pray, Heavenly Father, you would bring healing, you would bring comfort, bring encouragement, and sustain us all in the issues and the difficulties that we face. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our mothers, whether they are with us or whether they have gone on to be with you. In either case, God, we thank you for them and their influence upon our lives. Pray that you would make each one of those that are living, make it a very special day for them. Cause us to help make it a special day for them, Lord, we pray. We give to you now our prayer list and these that we've mentioned, unspoken requests, leave them with you. Thank you, God, for hearing and answering our prayers. All right, Brother John, come and get us started off with a song, I believe.
Six hundred twelve in this very room. I'd ask you to stand and remain standing for the prayer.
Father, we come to you this morning to worship you. We thank you for the love and the joy and the hope that you give us. It does indeed chase away any gloom and discouragement that comes our way. We give to you our time. We come for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to worship you, our Heavenly Father, because of your goodness and because of your grace, your love for us, demonstrated through your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now be with us. Cause all that's said, sung, and done be pleasing and acceptable into your sight. And Lord, may we give to you our hearts and our minds during this time ahead. Now, in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Be seated. Now, if you turn to hymn 353, Victory in Jesus.
Thank you.
Now, our next hymn, we're changing it. It's going to be hymn 410. 410, Standing on the Promises. I want to say, Brandy, thank you for playing today. It's extra effort. She can't use all of the pedals and everything, and so it makes it a lot harder on the piano player. So thank you. All right, Standing on the Promises.
Again, want to welcome mothers. Today's Mother's Day. We want to honor them. And while a couple of guys go take their places back there, we have something for all of the mothers that are in attendance this morning. And so, if mothers, will you please stand? You got a couple of them back there behind you, Trevor. Or he's already got them. All right. And you have one up here in the choir. They're scattered out. Don't want to. Do what? Okay, Reed, step out here where we can hear you a little better. There you go. Reed, what's on? All right. Absolutely, reflection of God's love. Isn't that the truth though? There's nothing that can take the place of a mother's love, except the love of God and the love of our personal Savior. Yeah, don't forget Brandy, too. And Miss Juanita. We're glad that all of you are here. And you may go ahead and sit down as soon as you have received your little envelope. We miss anybody? Yeah, Trevor's still catching up with a couple of them over there. We're glad that you're here. We recognize you. We love you. And some of us wish that we still had our mothers with us today to honor them as well. All right. Brother John's going to come now and sing and lead us in a very fitting song for Mother's Day.
We're going to be singing Amazing Grace, 343. 343, Amazing Grace. And after this, we will take up our offering. After that, Brother Charlie comes with our message. And if you would, join us in standing as we sing Amazing Grace.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks and honor and glory. We ask you bless the offering that we're about to take up for the furtherance of your kingdom. Bless those who give, Heavenly Father, for the furtherance of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
you, Brandy. Thank you very, very much taking us to the throne of grace with that beautiful offertory. And thank you, Brandy and John, for leading us in an excellent song service this morning. Just been a blessing to me. I don't know about you, but I can't speak for you. Just is always good. That's my time of worship, by the way, on Sunday mornings is a song service. Turn with me in your Bibles back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 50 and 51, the last two verses of John chapter 1. I need to give a little bit of an explanation. I've had several of you ask me if we had a good trip last week, and I say, well, we didn't really take a trip. What took place was my old Navy buddy from 52, 53 years ago, who lives in Phoenix, Arizona, has been suffering with cancer. Jack Faley's his name. You've had him on your prayer list. You've been praying for him. And he's now been declared cancer-free. Praise the Lord for that. And they flew into Pensacola on Saturday evening. And it was just not hardly possible for us to go and to meet them and be back here on Sunday morning. And so that's why I asked to be gone last Sunday and give Brother Ernie a chance to come and speak to you. And so we had a good week. They had to fly back, what was it, on Thursday, I believe. So we were between Pensacola and here. We made several trips back here, showed them where we live, said, you got to see how poor folks live. And we just had a good time reminiscing of a couple of things, all of the mischief that we used to get into back in the Navy days, and also the good times that we had back then, how God's blessed us since then with all of these years. And so that was the deal on that. Next time when I'm not here, we probably will be taking a trip again, but not this time. This was a trip in memory lane. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 50 and 51. And it was really, really good. John chapter 1, 50 and 51. Message I've entitled, Jesus the Son of Man. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that. He then added, I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the revelation of your word, the Holy Bible. And as we look at just these two verses this morning, show us the richness of them. Inspire our hearts, our minds, and our lives to follow you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today we complete our series, our study on John chapter 1. And I have determined, beginning next Sunday, to go back to the Psalms. They were such a blessing to me as I began with Psalm 1 and go back there. We left the Psalm about Easter time, I think. But that's where we're headed back again next Sunday. Pick up where we left off. But here in John chapter 1, we have seen Jesus called the Word, the Light, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the King of Israel. And today, Jesus himself calls himself the Son of Man. All these other titles were addressed to him by others. But this last one, the Son of Man, is what Jesus called himself. There are two things in today's text, in this Son of Man, or in the text today, that are important for us to understand. We'll take them one at a time. First of all, let us understand the significance of the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Verse 51 says that. In order to fully understand this, we must go back to Genesis chapter 28 and see the experience of the patriarch Joseph. Not Joseph, Jacob. Joseph was one of his sons. Jacob. Jacob was alone. He was a fugitive, being a fugitive at this time, at this experience. He was being hunted by his brother Esau because Jacob had stolen Esau's birthright and had stolen Esau's blessing from their father. And Esau had vowed to murder Jacob. So he, together with his mother, made plans for his escape. And he's headed across country. Let me just read to you a little bit of that out of Genesis 28. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. Genesis 28, and I think I want to start with verse 10. Genesis 28, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Have you ever used a stone for a pillow? I can't say that I have, but I guess get the right stone, it might be quite comfortable, better than a lot of things you can think of. Anyhow, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and the Lord said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the east and to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you. And your offspring, significant that word, offspring. Notice it's singular, not plural. Not your offsprings, not the children of Israel. By the way, Jacob's name shortly after this was renamed. God renamed him Israel. And the whole nation of Israel were descendant of Jacob, or Israel. And so God is telling him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Specifically indicating his offspring, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, the Lamb of God, God's sacrifice for the sins of the world. Indeed, we are all blessed through that offspring. Going on, verse 15, I am with you, God told Jacob, and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. We sang Standing on the Promise. Did we kind of improvise in putting that song in there? I think God had something to do with that. I didn't think about it at the time when I heard John and Brandy say, well, we're not going to do that song. We're going to do Standing on the Promises. But God is always faithful in his promises, isn't he? And my, we have a bunch of them. He told Jacob here specifically, I am with you. I will never leave you until I have done what I promised you. Anyway, verse 16, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate to heaven. That's also significant. This is the gate to heaven. That ladder was the gate to heaven. Now, let's go back to John chapter 1 and what's taking place here. And verse 50 and 51 is a response by Jesus to Nathanael, who was introduced to us in the previous verses. But when Jesus said to Nathanael in John 1, 50 and 51, our text today, it was a direct reference to Jacob's experience in Genesis 28. And what the reference was, or what the inference is, what the truth is that what Jesus is saying is that he, the Son of Man, is the ladder into heaven. Amen. Jesus is the living link between earth and heaven. That's what Jacob saw, the ladder extending from earth into heaven. He is the gate. Remember, Jacob said, this is the gate to heaven. Jesus is the gate to heaven. Genesis 28, 17. Jacob said that. Now here Jesus is bringing that into the context of himself and Nathan and all of us. As the latter, there are two things that take place. The first is, he is the way to heaven. Jesus is the ladder. Notice what, kind of getting ahead of myself, but I need to bring this out at this point. Verse 51. I tell you the truth, you'll see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So as angels, messengers of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, this is our way to heaven, our ladder, if you will, our gate, as Jacob called it. Jesus is the way to heaven. That's the first thing that takes place here. And so we're called upon to believe in him. He is the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for the sins of the world. That's what John the Baptist said earlier in this chapter. The second thing that is inferred, it takes place by the ladder, is that through him, through Jesus, the true teachings of heaven, the true teachings of God are brought to us by angels of God ascending and descending. Descending and ascending from heaven. Angels are messengers of God. And what took place in Jacob's dream was these messengers from God were coming down to him and bringing the presence of God to him. When he woke, he said, "Surely the Lord has been in this place." He was awestruck. He was struck with fear because God is a holy God. And it's fearful to stand in his presence. We cannot, without a Savior, without Jesus, stand in his presence. We take that for granted often. But as the angels were descending and ascending in heaven, Jesus, the ladder, is through whom the word, the truth, the true teachings of heaven and of God descend on Jesus the ladder and teach us and ascend back for more, a new message, continually bringing that to us. Remember, Jesus here in the first chapter of John is also called the Word. And remember, that was a revelation, the speaking of God. A thought is only a thought unless it's expressed by a word. Remember, I was talking about that. And Jesus was the communication. Jesus was the Word of God. Remember in Hebrews it says, in old times God spoke through his prophets various ways at various times, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. And he continues to speak to us. And the angel messengers of God descend from heaven through him, through Christ. And as we build our relationship with Christ, those messengers teach us and speak to us the messages of God. And we understand them more and more. Nathanael was amazed that Jesus saw him under the fig tree. That's what verse 50 starts out. He says, "You believe in me because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree." Remember, the fig tree is a place of study and meditation. But Jesus said, "You'll see greater things than that." And then he tells him about the heaven opening and a ladder and angels descending and ascending on him. Not upon him, but through him. Another thing that comes into this idea is that when Jesus, back up in verse 47, it says, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him, he said, now this is what Jesus said about Nathanael. Here is an Israelite in whom there is nothing false. And then Nathanael says, how did you know me? And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you out. The fig tree is a place of study and meditation. And when Jesus saw Nathanael there, he called him a true Israelite. An Israelite is a follower or a descendant of Jacob. Jacob was called Israel. And the whole nation of Israel were descendants from Jacob, from Israel. And so Nathanael had been under that fig tree, studying and meditating about being an Israelite. And he was probably thinking in his own mind, oh, how fortunate Jacob had been that in his dream he had seen heaven open and the angels, the messengers of God, descending and ascending. And when he woke up, he knew God had been there and spoken with him. Boy, wouldn't it just be wonderful if I could have that same experience. And here, don't you know, Jesus says to Nathanael, you believe me because I said I saw you while you were still under the fig tree. But let me tell you, Nathanael, you're going to see greater things than that. You're going to see the angels of heaven, the angels of God, ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It really had an impact on Nathanael. How Jesus not only knew him before he visually saw him, but also that he knew exactly what Nathanael was thinking and wishing and desiring in his heart. That he could have that communication with God. And now, here he is. Here it is. So a conclusion about that point, and this isn't the conclusion of the message, but about that point is John 14:6 tells us Jesus is the way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So accept him. The only way to the Father, the only way to God, the only way to heaven is through him. The ladder, the entrance, the passageway to the gate of heaven. At other places, the Gospel of John brings out the teaching of Jesus about the sheep, remember, in the sheepfold. Jesus says, I'm the shepherd. I'm not only the shepherd, I'm the gate. If you want to be a part of my flock, you must come through the gate, and I am the gate. And then I'm also the shepherd. I'll take you out, bring you in. You'll find pasture, peace, protection, and care, and nourishment. Everything that a shepherd does to his sheep. Secondly, let's understand the significance of the title Son of Man. Verse 51, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. The Son of Man identifies the human side of Jesus. That title is used often in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it is used 83 times. 13 times in the Gospel of John, most of them by himself, making reference to himself, just like here. He's identifying himself as human, the human side of you. Remember, he was born a baby to his mother Mary. Each time it's used, it's signifying his humanity. And the significance of his humanity is that in every way he can relate to us and what we experience. He dealt with temptation. Satan took him in. Well, Satan didn't take him. It says the Holy Spirit took Jesus into the wilderness, into the desert, to be tempted by Satan. Why did he do that? So that he could experience temptation. And he did. We read that in the scriptures, very severe temptation. Satan is a prince of the world. Satan was going to give him everything if he would just follow him. If Jesus would just follow him, I'll give you everything. All the kingdom's world I'll give you. Just all you got to do is bow down and follow me. Jesus says, no. Jesus experienced and dealt with and overcame temptations. He can relate to us when we are tempted. He saw the results of Satan's influence. He saw those results in poverty all around him, in sickness and despair. He saw that influence in those that were demon-possessed. Remember, so many he cast out the demons and changed their lives forever. He saw Satan's influence on people just as we do. He experienced mountaintops in his life. He experienced low valleys in his life. Remember the time he was on the mountaintop and there appeared Elijah, Moses, spoke to him right straight from heaven. And then there were the low valleys when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed so hard that his sweat was as if they were drops of blood, it tells us. Low, sad time. He experienced joy. He experienced anger when he went to the temple, God's house of prayer, and they had made it a den of thieves, selling things for profit. He experienced sadness. He experienced suffering. He experienced death. Yes, death itself he experienced. Furthermore, he was subject to obey the Ten Commandments, including Commandment number 5. And that's why we're here today. I bet y'all thought I forgot all about Mother's Day, didn't you? Well, Commandment number 5 is honor your father and your mother. I'm trying to find it quickly, Deuteronomy 5:16, so that I won't mess it up. Deuteronomy 5:16 is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Jesus was subject to all of the Ten Commandments. Some of them we figure even for us is not that hard to obey, not to have other gods before us, not to have idols or bow down and worship other gods. Don't misuse the name of the Lord your God in vain. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Steal. Give false testimony. That's kind of giving false testimony. Don't covet your neighbor anything. Desire anything of your neighbor's house and land. I don't know. I've seen what some people have, and it's hard not to covet what they have and that I don't have. Some of those are a little sticky. But every one of them, Jesus was subject to them, and he was victorious over them. There was never found a sin, a disobedience of any commandment in the life, the human life of the Lord Jesus Christ, including honoring his mother. It's easy to forget the fact that Jesus was born a baby, like every one of us. It hadn't been that long ago we celebrated his birth at Christmas. His mother met every need that he had as an infant. No need to go into the gory details of that, but his needs were the same as ours was, and his mother took care of those needs. His mother taught him at a young age the things of life, the do's and the don'ts. God allowed that to take place. He gave his mother, Mary, the responsibility of teaching him those things. Of course, God was involved in it, just like he is involved in every mother's teaching of their children, things of life, the right and wrong. Easy for us to forget that Jesus was just like we are, only more. He was not only son of man, he was a son of God. Every one of us are sons and daughters of man. We are sons and daughters of our mother, just like Jesus was the son of his mother, Mary. But to Jesus, it was different. His father was God Almighty. Through the Holy Spirit, put into his mother, and was born. She went through normal pregnancy, normal delivery, normal childish responsibilities for her child. And because of all of that, and because of creation, how God created things, and how Mothers are special because they give life. They give birth. They take care of us when we're not able to take care of ourselves. Jesus experienced all of that. And because of all of that, God gave this fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Here again, something very unique took place when Jesus was dying on the cross. Only the Gospel of John records it. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, in verse 25, let me read you what takes place. Jesus is on the cross, dying. And near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. Now the disciple whom he loved is the disciple John. And John is the one that is the Holy Spirit has chosen to write this. John was there when Jesus died on the cross. All the other disciples were gone. They were in hiding. But John was there. Remember John? John knew one of the high priests. So he had special privilege of entrance into the judgment, the trial of Jesus, and stayed with him all the way to his death. Here he is at the cross. And Jesus sees his mother Mary, as well as he sees John, his faithful disciple, both standing there as he's on the cross. And he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son. Mom, here I am. I'm dying." That wasn't the end. And to the disciple, he said, to John, the disciple here said, "Here is your mother." And it says, from that time on, his disciple took her into his house. And so don't you see, a tender thing takes place right here. And just a couple of verses later, verse 30, it says that Jesus took a drink, and then he said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He died. He gave it up. But before he did, before verse 30, he made sure that his mother would be cared for. Some of you have cared for your mother in their dying days, in their last days, and it is as it should be. It is our responsibility. And Jesus gave us this example, honored his mother through his life. It comes out sometimes his mother didn't understand what was going on with him. That sounds pretty familiar too. Mother, sometimes you don't understand what's going on with your children. God does. Even in the down times, we're told it's all for a purpose. Either God's disciplining us, or he's drawing us closer to him. And the being drawn closer to him is also a result of him disciplining always. And so there's always a purpose there. But in our earthly minds and our earthly eyes, we can't see all of that. And it was the same way with Mary. She protested a couple of times about what Jesus was doing. Jesus was even accused by his family of having lost his mind. No. He was following his Father, his Heavenly Father, and what the Heavenly Father had for him to do. But yet through it all, Jesus honored his mother. If Jesus gave us this example, surely we must follow it. And so we honor our mothers. We honor our mothers today. In Ephesians chapter 6, this commandment is stated again. There are three times it's stated. Once in Exodus, stated by God to Moses. And once in Deuteronomy, that's where I read. a moment ago, from Moses to the children of Israel, and then in Ephesians by the Apostle Paul to the church, that's us. Each time it was a speaking of the Holy Spirit of God, once through the Spirit of God and God the Father, once through Moses and once through Paul, always to God's followers, Ten Commandments, and this fifth commandment, honor your mother, honor your father and your mother. And in Ephesians, where that commandment is stated, just before it's stated, Ephesians 6, 1, I think it says, honor your parents because this is right. We're to honor our mothers because this is right. This is the right thing to do. If nothing else, this is right. And then the commandment itself says that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life. Remember back there in Deuteronomy it says, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the land. This life is the land. Your life is the land that the Lord your God has given you to possess and live and enjoy his blessings in, and to serve him in, just as the Israelites were given the promised land of Israel. And part of enjoying the fullness of life in the land that God has given us is obeying him. None any more important than honoring our mothers. So, honor your mother today. If she lives, there are many acts of honor and love that you may easily do for her today. None greater than simply saying to her, I love you because you love me. If she's no longer with you, if she's no longer with us, then honor her with fond memories. Have many fond memories of our mother. Regardless of their faults and failures, they're always fond memories that we can hang on to. They want us to do that. They want you to do that. God wants us to do that. God wants you to do that. Hold on to those fond memories. And also, while your mother is here, honor her in every way possible. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for mothers. We thank you that you sent your Son Jesus, not only as the Lamb of God, as a sacrifice for our sins, not only as Savior, that he will stand with us at the judgment day, but Heavenly Father, as the Son of Man, who can relate to each and every experiences that we have in life. And one of those experiences is our experiences with our mothers. And God, we thank you that we as a nation, probably around the world, many other countries that I know, recognize this day as a day to honor and recognize our mothers. What a blessing they are. A blessing of amazing grace from you. A true blessing of your promises as we have sang these inspired hymns today. Go with us now from this place. Cause us to have a blessed Mother's Day with our families as we go. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother John, what's our hymn of invitation this morning? I know you got 591. Stand and let's sing just a verse or two of this. If you need to come this morning signifying the acceptance of Jesus Christ in your, as your Savior for the very first time, will you do so? Whatever the Lord might be leading you to do, this is a time to respond to him as we sing. Just a verse or two.
Thank you, and we just praise you for our mothers. This visit's for you.